The Resilient American Consumer.
Wake up to the day's top business headlines. Subscribe to the Marketplace Morning Report podcast. It's on iTunes and marketplace.org/podcasts.
From 8 p.m. in New York, hello, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Midday Update for Monday, the 1st of April. We got some strong manufacturing numbers this morning from the financial data firm Market. It said the last 3 months were the best in 2 years for growth in the manufacturing sector. Meanwhile, Wall Street is getting its first chance today to react to some strong numbers on consumer spending that came out Friday when markets were closed. Consumer spending jumped 0.7% in February and personal income rose 1.1%. Julia Coronado is chief economist with the investment bank BNP Paribas, and she is with us now to discuss. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, so Julia, how is it possible that the consumer, and this is number after number after number over the last couple of months, is just tossing aside this payroll tax increase we were all talking about at the beginning of the year?
That's right. It's been a bit of a mystery. And there were some surveys that were conducted recently that indicated a lot of consumers weren't even really aware that their paychecks went down, perhaps because a lot of people have direct deposit or for some other reason they didn't realize that they had a permanent pay cut effectively. So some of the answer might be that they're just going to smooth it out over time so we get less of a big hit at the start of the year and more of a gradual adjustment.
And I guess gas prices aren't going up as much as they were recently. Is there anything else at play?
Well, another thing that does seem to be feeding into the strength of the data recently is the Hurricane Sandy rebuilding efforts. Keep in mind that the government allocated money, about $50 billion for Hurricane Sandy rebuilding. That is as big as the sequestration spending cuts that we focus so much on. And that's going into the economy right now. It's going into rebuilding transportation systems, homes, replacing appliances, and so on. So that's partially offsetting some of the drag of the higher taxes.
Sort of a mini stimulus. Julia Coronado, chief economist with the investment bank BNP Paribas. Thanks, as always.
It's a pleasure.
Well, today, the Supreme Court of India ruled against the Swiss drug maker Novartis. The company was seeking patent protection for its cancer drug Gleevec. The decision has implications for the pharmaceutical industry around the world and for millions of people in poor countries. From the Marketplace Health Desk at WHYY in Philadelphia, Dan Gorenstein reports.
The basic question in this Supreme Court case was whether Novartis could tweak one of its drugs and gain patent protection. The answer was no. Jennifer Cohn of Doctors Without Borders says that's a huge win for people all over the globe.
India has been called the pharmacy to the developing world, and that's because it provides a great deal of affordable quality generic medicines to people living in low and middle income countries.
Cohn says the ruling potentially blocks efforts to increase the number of patents in other emerging markets. Pharmaceutical companies warn this limits their ability to invest in new drugs that could combat illness and disease. Andy Behrens at Bloomberg says the more the rest of the world uses generics, the more Western nations will be called on to subsidize corporate research and development.
If the developing countries can fund some of this R&D costs, it makes it easier for the U.S. not have to bear the burden of that innovation.
Behrens says the real threat to drug makers is if countries like the U.S. also adopt more generic-friendly policies, a development Behrens sees as unlikely. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
Get Marketplace's top headlines, podcasts, and special features delivered right to your inbox each day. Subscribe to the Midday Update newsletter at marketplace.org.
There is a 13-year-old roller coaster sitting alongside I-95 in Florida, and it has to go away by the end of May. The Dania Beach hurricane was a passion project for a group of investors, but the Great Recession caused a drop in ridership that bankrupted the coaster. Now the investors are trying to give the thing away, but as Kenny Malone reports from WLRN, nobody wants it.
Allison, are you up there?
Oh my gosh, I hadn't realized how high this is.
To demonstrate how high the Dania Beach hurricane is, attorney Allison Goodwin has climbed all the way to the top. For an audible demonstration, she holds a plastic jug with loose change over the railing.
All right, ready?
Ready!
She drops the jug.
1-1,000, 2-1,000, 3-1,000, 4.
That was very close to hitting me.
That was very close to hitting me!
Allison Goodwin helped investors build the largest wooden roller coaster in Florida.
So the idea that it's coming down and going to go rot somewhere is just such a waste. I mean, it actually makes me sick to my stomach.
And so Goodwin and the investors are trying to give the entire roller coaster to charity. Obviously, there's the benefit of the tax write-off, but the theory is that all that wood could be very valuable for the right organization.
In theory, yes.
Perry Ecton runs Habitat for Humanity of Broward County. Ecton considered accepting the donation, but the problem was taking the coaster down. He says most of Habitat's workers are community volunteers.
I'm thinking of an OSHA safety crew coming by, and you get your local school teacher or lawyer hanging with harnesses upside down. It's just, it scared me more than it was worth.
As it turns out, sometimes you need to look a gift horse in the mouth, where you'll find the complications. Kate Gedge is with the Boston Foundation, which received hundreds of pieces of very expensive pottery. But selling everything at once would flood the high-end pottery market, so the foundation had to pay for storage now to get the best value later.
But you have to be able to handle that and think long-term and not need to convert the materials to cash right away to fund your operations.
And in case you're wondering if the Boston Foundation was interested in a wooden roller coaster?
No, I don't think so. Thanks.
In Miami, I'm Kenny Malone for Marketplace.
And finally, back to India, Bangalore to be specific. Officials there are trying to save money by using cardboard cops in busy intersections. They're hoping that'll make people think there are real police officers standing there and they'll slow down to avoid a ticket. Problem is, the cardboard cops don't stand up to the elements. When it rains, they suddenly fall down on the job and abandon their posts. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.